Wonderful. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. Amen. And we worship Him. And we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We worship Him for His goodness, which is grace, His mercy, and His truth that's everlasting, never changes. Some things change. Our health changes. Our relationships change. I love it when our E-team gets excited. They've already got God all over them. They're all doing just like this. I thought they were getting blessed, and they tell me to turn my mic on. So, all right. Amen. But aren't you glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
We are so very proud. I want to say again, thank you for all the graduates who are here. But let's do something else. The kindergarten, high school, different levels of education. Moms and dads and grandparents are so very, very important in every bit of that. And I think we ought to just thank the Lord for godly parents and grandparents who have an influence in all the lives of our graduates today. Amen. And I'm so very proud of, like I said, Brother Mel Perry and then Janie up in Emerald, up in the mountains. They watch us every Sunday, but she's working online, working on her degree from the Bible Institute. You're welcome to do that. You can join, see Brother Gary about getting in the fall semester on campus here. Or maybe he can work out something with you. We are very flexible with your work schedule and other opportunities and give you a chance. We want you to get in the Word of God. So check with him about that. And then for our ladies, for Susan and Kathy that graduated, I tell you, they're young ladies, very young ladies, but they're mothers and grandmothers. And they took the time to study and to apply themselves. And thank God for that. Amen. I appreciate that. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs. Now, I've got just a few minutes, and I'm going to share some things with you from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Welcome to all our guests and visitors who are here. And some of you may be in the building that I've talked to through the week who had I had visitors' cards and helped me to put a name with a face now sometime. If you're here visiting with us today, we're sure glad that you're here and hope you'll come back and be with us again. You thought I was kidding you about 12 points, but I've got 12 points this morning, but I don't have much under the points. I'll just emphasize them. I want to read this entire proverb. Did I say proverb? Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And as I was praying through the week about the message for this morning and thinking about our graduates at different levels and their truths that apply to us every day of our life from the time that we are old enough to know what's going on to the day we die. Those are the truths that really count and principles that really count. I was listening to this little thing on the radio the other day about children, about the influence of children. And most patterns of life and thought patterns are established in children between the ages of 4 and 5. Isn't that something? Whatever happens in their life between the ages of 4 and 5 will affect them the rest of their life. And how important it is. And so listen, and I understand how the Holy Ghost of God is working through Solomon as he gives these admonitions to his son. And it says this, chapter 3, verse 1 of Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If I didn't read the rest of the chapter, he tells you the great benefit of looking to the Lord and obeying the Lord and thanking God for His mercy and for His truth. But he continues on now in verse number 3. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary when thou art correct, when weary of his correction. for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than the fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths of peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither desolation of the wicked, for when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and he shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good thing from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power, in thy hand to do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with them, with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the reading of your word. Your promise is that your word will not return void. Father, I'm praying that, Lord, as I have read through this proverb, that God the Holy Ghost has spoken to men and women and boys and girls. And I pray, God, that there was one statement or sentence or word that caught their attention. And God, they'll be drawn back to this proverb to read it over and over again. And God, I pray that every person in this building would learn the great truths that are in this one proverb. And now, Father, it covers the whole gamut of our life. It assures us to have, Lord, a right relationship with you and with our neighbors. It causes us to have peace and have a sense of safety and security. It causes us to trust your will and to know that you doeth all things well. And regardless of what comes our way, that God, you're going to take care of us. And Lord, that when we are disobedient or out of the way, that God, you love us enough to correct us and chasten us. And our Father, ultimately, when it's all said and done, that our Father, those who have chosen the way of wickedness will pay the ultimate price and be alienated from you in a place called hell. But God, those who are saved will live forever. And the problems and the sicknesses and the difficulties we had in this world will never, ever again cross our mind. We'll live in a place of joy and splendor where there is no more tears, no pain, no sorrow forever and ever. Help us to learn the secret of living in a world that's troubled so we can have peace. And God, we'll thank you and praise you. And Lord, I ask now the Holy Ghost of God to breathe on me in these brief moments. And God, I confess there's no good thing in me, but the Holy Ghost of God, doesn't take you long to speak to a man or a woman or a boy or girl. Would you speak to him now? And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in the Boy Scouts 100 years ago. And one thing you have to learn in the Boy Scouts is to tie certain knots. And I'd tie knots all my life, mostly fishing line. But they taught us how to do half hitches and all those other things and all. I don't remember all of them, but you had to learn to tie them. Now, my scout master was a unique man. I was in Troop 144 in Roanoke Rapids. And he had us to take the ropes, and when it was time to tie the knots, he pulled a quick one, a sneaky one on us. He said, "Everybody, close your eyes." We had to tie the knots that we were required to tie that day with our eyes closed. We had to tie it without looking at it. He wanted us to get it so ingrained in us that we didn't have to do it by sight. We could just do it from memory and by that. I was thinking about that as I was thinking about the message today. The Bible said we walk not by sight, but by faith. We walk, but we don't understand everything goes on. What we see is not real sometimes. What we see, we can't comprehend sometimes. But God's got a plan. But all of those knots that I learned to tie back those days, few of them I still use. But then I'm really like the water, nautical type things. And so I've got, some of the family gave me a board that's got all the sailor's knots on it, all of those. And I was reading a book one time about mariners, and it was required of those sailors that they would learn the ropes. That was the phrase they used. They had to learn how to tie all those knots. They had to know how to hook everything up. And so they had to know the ropes. And they too had to learn to do that blindfolded. And I thought, well, my scoutmasters, he must have read that same book somewhere along the line. They had to learn to know the ropes. And people, you ever heard that phrase? People say, knows how to use a rope. Well, I saw a little plaque one time that I thought was pretty neat. And it's a picture of a cat. He's got this frantic look on his mind and eyes, and it's a rope hanging down. And there's a knot in it, and he's hanging on. And it said this, "When you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on." I thought that was pretty good. There are some knots, there are some ropes that you can hold on to. Now I'm going to do a little play on words. In this proverb, there are 12 knots, not K-N-O-T, but N-O-T. There are 12 knots that you need to hold on to. If you're going to live in this world, you better get a grasp on them, not just because you graduated from kindergarten, high school, college, or whatever your graduation is. Many of you, long time since you've been in school. But these are truths that will last you the rest of your life. You say, "Brother Billy, things have changed." Oh, yeah, I remember the first television I ever saw. We didn't have one for a long time. And I remember seeing it over at Ralph Cullum's house. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Boy, listen, he went in there, and it was a round one. How many of you remember when the television screens were round? And he turned it on, and there was Gene Autry riding across there, right on that thing. Look, I couldn't believe it. Man, I'm old, ain't I? I remember those days. But you know what? The truths that God put in my heart way back then are still what keeps me going now. And look at them. Now, I got 12 of them, but I'm not going to elaborate on. But will you mark your Bible and go back and read it later? Let's begin in your Bible here with me in chapter number 3 of the book of Proverbs and look at verse number 1. He said, "Forget not." That's the first knot. What are you not to forget? You're not to forget the law. You're to keep His law in your heart, because if you do that, you'll have length of days and long life. There are a lot of people who forget. Now, this Hebrew word for forget means this. It has become a neglectful thing. He illustrates it in the book of Psalms when he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." It's an idea of a gradual, one step at a time, getting away from the truth of God. And if you're not careful, you'll be close to God, but it's a gradual thing. And he said, you must not let that happen to you. In the New Testament, he talks about you have to be careful lest you let something slip. And he talks about the idea of drifting. That's what it's all about. And he said, forget not. You have to be vigilant and to maintain what's real to you and gets real to you, the Word of God, the truth of God, for the rest of your life. Don't you forget the Word of God. Don't you forget the truth of God. Because when it's all said and done, it's not vitamins, it's not money, it's not education, but length of days and long life and peace are in the precious Word of God. Look at verse number 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Let not, there's another knot you want to hold on to. Grace or mercy and truth for the rest of your life. Mercy that you experience and mercy that you extend. I was reading a statement by Jonathan Edwards some time ago. He was a great reformer and during the Great Awakening in America. And he God used him in an awesome way during the Great Awakening Revival in America. But he has a book called The Resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. And he resolved this one time. He said, in paraphrasing it, I resolve to live my life in relation to others that their great sins are the same great sins of mine, and I'll be reminded of that daily. In other words, he said, I'm not going to live my life as a pharisaical Christian. I'm going to look at people who are in sin, and I'm going to extend to them the same mercy I've experienced. I'm going to love them and pray for them and try to reach them, and I'm going to look at them. Paul said, you do it humbly when you encourage people or rebuke them or whatever, considering your own selves. And he said that you and I have all been in that way when we walked according to the flesh. And he said, you need to hold on to this grace, mercy and truth for the rest of your life. Look down at verse number 5. He said, trust in the Lord with all in your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That's the third one. Lean not to your own understanding. We got a rose bush, and that rose bush goes this way. I've got a big mulberry tree there. Ms. Mary Ann Spreeville gave me that. It was just a little sprig. Boy, it's grew up, has mulberries on it. But that early in the morning, that shades that little rose bush. And I'm watching that rose bush, and it leans this way toward the sun because that's its source. And he said this, you have to be careful in the rest of your life. You yield life to Christ, you follow Him, you trust Him, and don't lean to your own understanding. Don't develop the natural tendency to rationalize and explain everything yourself. You got to live by faith the rest of your life. A lot of things are going to happen that you won't understand. But he said, lean not. We got to hurry. Look down at verse number 7. In verse number 7, here is the fourth one. He said this, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And that's verse 6. And He shall direct thy path. Watch this. Be not wise in thine own eyes, for the fear of the Lord, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. You have to be careful. Paul talks about us, if any seem to be wise, let him become as a fool. And what it means is this, you don't ever quit learning. You don't ever think you'll have arrived. You don't ever get to the place where you think you've got all the answers because you do not. And all of your life, you've got to trust the Lord, depend on Him, and look to Him. Be not wise in your own eyes. There's another knot you better hold on to. Look down at verse number 11. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary when He correcteth thee. The Bible teaches us that God chastens who He loves, but when God deals with us about our sin, it must not embitter us. It must not make us hard. It must tender our heart and help us to worship Him. He said, treasure, do not despise, but want God. Young Christians, when they get saved and they get on fire for the Lord, they pray a prayer something like this. God, if there's something I'm doing that's wrong, let me know. But sometimes when we get to be older Christians and we've been around a while, we get to the place where we don't think that's important, but it is important. You ought to always want God to deal with you and correct you and lead you properly. And that's a knot that you've got to hold on for the rest of your life. And if you will, look with me a little bit further, drop all the way down to verse number 21. He said this, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. You and I, he said, the rest of your life, You've got to keep focused on God's wisdom. That's heavenly wisdom. And God giving you discretion, making right decisions. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And we can't understand everything. There are a lot of questions that you say why, and you won't ever get the answer on this side of glory. And when you get to heaven, it won't matter. But you're just going to trust Him. You're going to look to Him, and you're going to trust His wisdom. You better hold on to that. You better hold on to this idea of, I need God's wisdom. I need God's discretion. And look at it, verse number 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and He shall keep thy foot from being taken. He's talking about us overreacting to tragedy in our life and heartache in our life, persecution, sickness, or whatever. He said, God will give you peace. Know this one thing. He loved you so much He gave His Son to die for you. He's going to take care of you. I can't explain to you why things happen. I've heard all kind of stories about things that happened in recent days that I don't have any answers to. But I do know this, God loves us. And He said, don't let those things rattle you. Don't let it shake you when things happen. You learn to trust God. Be not afraid of desolation when it comes or problems when they come, because the Lord will be your confidence and He'll keep you. You know that. Get that in your mind and heart. For the rest of your life, you're going to have things happen you weren't expecting. There, you'll get a phone call. The doctor will give you a diagnosis. For the rest of your life, you're going to have that. And so you've got to learn to say, God's got this. I don't care what it is. It didn't surprise Him. All things work together for good to them that love God. I know He's got it. And there's one of the knots you've got to hold on to. Be not afraid. Look down at verse number 27. Withhold not good for them to whom it is due. And then say, verse number 28, say not to your neighbor, go and come again. And when you have it in your, within your means to help him. He wants us to learn this. For the rest of your life, you're going to be earning and saving and keeping. But he said, you must not hold your possessions in a tight fist. You've got to live the rest of your life being helpful. Sometimes God puts things in your life to be a blessing to others. Sometimes He'll give you something that'll be a blessing to others. And you don't ever develop a covetous spirit or a tightwad spirit or a greedy spirit. He said, whatever God does for you, whatever He blesses you with, is for somebody else. There's a knot you'd better hold on to in that passage of Scripture. Two of them actually tied together. And then he talks about this right relationship. There's a verse in the New Testament, notes verse 30, strive not with a man without a cause if he hath done thee no harm. The Bible says in the New Testament, you ought to be at peace with all men. There's no way for you to get agitated at somebody else with not feeling a sense of agitation on the inside. Most of you, when you get angry, you feel very uncomfortable on the inside. It doesn't help you a bit in the world. You say, well, I got it off my chest. No, you be honest, it makes you feel worse. Makes you feel worse. And he said, you don't do that. You have to learn to be at peace with all men as much as possible and learn to love them and be patient with people. And as God's been patient with you, verse 31, envy not the oppressors. Here's the last one. Envy not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. There was occasion when David looked out and he said, when I consider the godly, he said, they live their life. They don't seem like they have tragedy. They seem like they've got all the things they need. They seem like they're happy. And I'm living for God and I'm just barely getting by. I'm living for God and I have physical problems. And David said, when I considered all that, I wondered until, he said, I considered their end. And that's what made the difference. What made the difference was this. You and I living in a world that's under the curse of sin. And the Lord made a promise. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There is coming a day that you won't have any more heartache, any more sorrow, any more pain, any more disease. But we're not there yet. We're not home yet. But you have to be careful, because if you're not careful, you live for God, you try to do things right, and you love Him and walk with Him, and you'll see people all around you getting blessed, other people getting promotions, and they don't love God. They don't live for God. But you got to remember this. That's not the end yet. Let me read the rest of this little chapter here. Notice what he said. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is upon the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely the scorner, he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the motion of fools. David said, when I consider their end, he said, it's worth it. Paul talked about his life in ministry, and he talked about all the suffering and persecution he went through. But he said this, the time of my departure is at hand. And he said, I'm now ready to be offered. And he said, there's coming a day when I'm leaving out of here. The time of my departure is at hand. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but all those who love his appearing. The Apostle Paul lived a life of being imprisoned and beat and stoned and everything else, all because he was preaching the gospel. But my dear friend, today he's blessed for all eternity. And you and I need to be faithful to him. I couldn't elaborate on all these. There's too many to try to tackle in one sermon and a half. I had all day. But I want you to write those down. There are 12 knots there that you better hold on to for the rest of your life. Will you bow with me for prayer? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. The first step of a relationship with God is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your personal salvation. I want to ask you a question. Thank God for our graduates. Thank God for all those who've accomplished that. But the greatest thing that you'll ever do in this world is to turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, to trust Him with all of your heart and ask Him to come in your heart and save you. That'll make all the difference. It will not eliminate trouble in your life. It will not eliminate problems in your life. You'll have those. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation. Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. You're going to have those. But you can live a life of peace, not in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of trouble. Peace in the lion's den, peace in the fiery furnace, peace in suffering. And it comes by the Prince of Peace and dwell in your heart. When you turn to Him and turn to Him as Savior, ask Him to come in your heart, He'll forgive all your sin and you'll know it. He'll give you peace of God that passes all understanding. And whatever you face in the rest of your life, He'll be with you. He's your strength and He'll give you peace. He'll carry you through it. Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you trusted in the Lord with all of your heart? Then all of these knots in this, so many admonitions, man, it would encompass your life. These simple truths to guide you and guard you. There's been such great advancement in technology since I was young, in the last several years, and most of you who bought some sort of tech device last month, it's out of date now. You'll have to go buy another one. But some things never change. Wisdom and discretion never changed. And if God will give you wisdom and God will give you discretion, if you'll be aware of His presence, you can function in any level of society. You can function in any continent in the world. You can be used of God in any field of endeavor, give you wisdom in whatever God leads you into, whatever your life's career be. You're going to need wisdom and correction, and it only comes from Him. Trust Him. And don't ever get to the place where you become wise in your own eyes. You're always seeking Him, always desiring His leadership, always seeking Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Would you stand with me for prayer? I'll simply say this morning. Brother Brad may have a verse of a song. We're going to just do one verse. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. If you don't know for sure you're saved, I invite you to step around this out and come down this old-fashioned altar. I may not know your name, but He does. He died for you on Calvary and knew every one of your sins. He bore your sins in His own body on the tree. And He made a promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The caller gets saved. not the preacher, not Sunday school teacher, not mom and dad, but whoever calls, they get saved. He knows you already. If you'll come to Him and say, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. Lord, I confess my sins to You and I ask You to forgive me. Come in my heart and save me right now. Accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord." According to the Word of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'd save you right now. Those of us who are Christians, we have to be careful. We think we've arrived intellectually, and we've made it to our career choice in life, and we finally got to where we got a comfortable income or whatever. But you got to be careful, because there's always people around you that seem to be more successful, seem to be making more money, seem to have better things, and yet they don't live for God. You'll begin to wonder and question. But the Word of God, one of those knots was, you don't envy them, because their end's not going to be good. It's all be gone in a moment. One split second after they die, everything they've accumulated all their life belongs to somebody else. God's got something laid up for you that will never fade away, an inheritance in heaven. I encourage you this morning, if you're a Christian and maybe you feel the need to get around this old-fashioned altar, let God breathe on you and touch you, give you some redirection in your life to honor Him and walk with Him. I ask you to obey the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You again for the families and graduates who are here today, for all our friends in the internet audience. We pray, God, the Holy Ghost would bless. Our Father, I want to thank You for Your Word, the inexhaustible truth of it, the irreplaceable value of it. No degree in this world is more valuable than knowing the Word of God. No amount of education, no learning is equivalent to the wisdom and the discretion of God. God, give us that wisdom and help us to function that way. Lord, bless Your people now. Help them to obey You and help people to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. If there's somebody here lost, I pray, God, You'd save them, or in the media audience. And God, I pray that we'd all give our life to You, to the study of the Word of God and the living of the Word of God. God, we'll know peace and we'll know joy and length of days. Bless our friends now as they obey Christ. While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Brad, you have a song on your heart. If you'll come around the altar this morning, you'll not be the first. Some are already here. I invite you to come. If you're here and you're not saved, boys and girls, men and women, you need to be saved. I invite you to come right now. God bless you as you come. Amen.